There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. More hours of live local talk. Remember, we're doing 55 hours a week of live shows to go on to our podcast platforms, which you can, the best way, the fastest way to get our podcast is to go to directly to the app, the FM Talk 106.5 app, available for free for you, waiting over at Google Play for Android users or the App Store for Apple users. Just look for FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. I don't know, messes it up. So just go FM TALK 1065 at Google Play or at the App Store and grab that app. You get our podcast there. Of course, you can get them through the website, all the podcast platforms out there as well. So check them out. And there's always things to go back and listen to or share with friends. So check that out. Also, I want to say a big thank you. I know I hopped on with the with Dan and Dalton this morning during Mobile Mornings. But once again, as an audience, y'all, you're incredible. And I've, been around a couple radio stations over my years, and this has been an amazing thing, the way y'all give back to the community. Last night, we were doing the guest bartender event at Fairhope Brewing Company and raising money for Team Fight or Die, that veterans group, and the research they fund. It's the ones that row across the Atlantic. You probably remember discussions I've had with them. I raised money for them last night, and y'all came through. It's just incredible. We're over $2,500 in tips last night. That money all going to Team Fight or Die. So thank you. Thank you to Jim and Brian, everybody at Fairhope Brewing Company for having this event. And thanks for y'all coming out and being so, so charitable. Y'all are awesome. And we'll continue talking about that going forward. All right. Coming up on the show today, John Kilpatrick, Veterans Recovery Resources, is going to join us. Lots to talk about with what he does with his group. But you know that certificate of need discussion we've had in the past? Well, I got a concrete example of how that's playing out or not playing out in our state. We'll talk about that with John coming up in hour number two. Also, Congressman Mo Brooks joins us around 12:30. And another John, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com, joins us to start everything off on this Wednesday. John, how are you?
Good, Sean. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm going to play. There's a clip here. I want to play this clip. This is from yesterday's Mobile City Council meeting that we're going to talk about. This is one that has stuck with me here. I just want to let's go ahead and run that. Go ahead and run. Let's go. We'll run cut one. All right, run cut one. Here we go. This is a short version.
Lad Stadium is a concrete bricks and mortar facility. The stadium never shot anyone. It's unfortunate that an individual had an incident out there that provided an opportunity for us as a community to resolve, but the stadium itself never hurt anyone.
Okay, so duly noted, and Councilman Carroll was just here earlier this week, and always open invitation on the show. But yes, Ladd Stadium, so we know, and Councilman, if you're listening, I'm good. So even though I saw a drawing online earlier today that had Ladd Stadium packing a pistol, we know that that is not true, but it is a bigger discussion of what happened in yesterday's city council meeting, and that's what we got John on to talk about as well. John, so the stadium didn't shoot anybody that we know of.
That we know of, yes,
right,
that's correct. Stadiums are not living, breathing things. They cannot, unless they're, well, at any rate, no.
But they not shoot anybody. But they sure as heck have, Ladd, people says, there's been a lot of consternation about Ladd. It's not just in yesterday's meeting. This has been going on for a while.
That's correct. What we see, and this is going to be a discussion that's going to be ongoing. Prepare for a big one, a bigger discussion on this issue, on the future of Ladd, but also to be lumped in there with other stadiums and entertainment venues like the Mobile Civic Center, Golf Quest. I'm sure the Hank will come up. Other venues as well that are underutilized, in which their main tenants of the past have either left or are no longer utilizing that facility. And that's going to be a discussion that the city council, this new city council, really seems to want to jump into and really be their first big issue that they want to dive into. That's basically my takeaway, at least from this new group of council members, that they really want to start addressing this, what we call older problems, basically new eyes and new ideas on older problems. And that's kind of where we're at right now. There's going to be some committee meetings and either starting in late January or early February, and that'll be a main issue to tackle. But right now, what happened yesterday was Lab People Stadium received kind of a financial boost to provide for marketing and public relations of the events that will be held at the stadium.
And this is incentive money, right? Because what the Lad People Stadium is not a part of the city of Mobile, or is it? I mean, it's run by a different group. It's not run by somebody down at Government Plaza.
A third-party group, the Michigan group, has run Lad. They've managed the operations at Lad since 2011. This stadium is owned by the city, has been owned by the city for quite some time. It is an old stadium. It's like 72, 73 years old. So it's a facility that does need TLC from time to time, and the city has spent on that. I remember not too long ago, or perhaps it has been too long ago, I don't know, all these years seem sometimes to run together, yeah. But the city spent a sizable amount of money to replace the field turf out there. And I'll never forget going out there, and I believe it was a couple city council members at the time were trying to kick a football off of the off the field turf. So, yeah, the city has spent money to make upgrades out at that venue. But it has undergone some changes, some not-so-positive changes over the recent years for LAD, for its sustainability going forward, and that's losing the USA Jaguars and the Senior Bowl and the Lending Tree Bowl. Those are three substantial tenants of that facility, and they have all relocated to a newer, shinier stadium out at West Mobile at Hancock Whitney Stadium.
But couldn't they, and you know, then the high school games as well as part of this, but if they're going to do something with it, the $160,000 that came out in yesterday's meeting to market LAD, that seems like, okay, if we're going to keep this, then we need to market it. None of these changes should have surprised anybody, right? I'm not inside the halls of government, and I saw this coming years and years and years ago. Shouldn't this kind of been done 10 years ago, 8 years ago, to secure people, keep them there? What do they need? Get other events to now we've got no one, and now we got to fix it.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. I agree. But the as Councilwoman Gina Gregory said, and she's, you know, the veteran voice of the council these days, she clearly indicated to the LAD folks that this money is not to be used to boost LAD Peebles or to market the stadium from a public relations standpoint. It's to market the public relations and marketing of events that are held at the venue. And so that was an interesting indication that you know, we're not going to try and spin LAD in a positive light with this money. It's used to promote an actual event. There's been talks about concerts either in the parking lot or within the stadium itself. They're looking at boosting concerts there. There's also talks of adding another historically black college football game, black colleges and universities football game at that stadium. So that, and that apparently those events bring in sizable revenue to LAD. So there are some talks about bringing in additional events, although nothing major has been announced yet.
Yeah, but it is interesting. You talk about what Councilwoman Gregory said. Can't you do both? I mean, if you just promote the events, wouldn't it be worth using some of the money to promote the venue to other events? To have them come in instead of just securing an event, using it to promote the event, that's one thing. But shouldn't you be out trying to find people that have events that need a home and tell them why they need to be at LAD.
Well, I think that's where the LAD folks were coming at in the last couple of weeks when they've come before the council to talk, is they're concerned about the bad PR that the venue's received.
That's our fault in the media. That's our fault in the media.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of, media blame, scapegoating, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on a lot lately, too. But, there were two high-profile shootings that occurred at high school football games in the last 2 years. And the last one resulted, and whoever's fault it might be in regards to the security issues at the stadium, that's still being debated or has been debated publicly. But the bottom line is Mobile County Public Schools that were no longer hosting football games at the stadium anymore. And they've gone forward and they're pursuing development of their own stadiums, on-campus stadiums throughout the city. So, right now LADS no longer has a what you would call a full-time football tenant, and it's a football stadium. And that's been part of the council's concerns as we've had these talks in the last couple of weeks is what exactly are we going to utilize this venue for going forward? And so we're going to have more talks about that going into next year. This, again, we have four new council members, four new fresh eyes on an old issue. And it's kind of interesting that this is seems to be one of the most high-profile issues that the city government wants to take on right now. What to do with these aging, outdated, some would say, entertainment venues that need some definite TLC and need, I guess, a strategic plan going forward.
In your story, to shift here a little bit, this ARPA money, we talked about it for these venues, but also as we talk about promotion, a big move here to give money from ARPA to Visit Mobile, right?
Yeah, the Visit Mobile. Now, Visit Mobile folks, if you ask them, they asked for the entire amount, but they received $776,000. Yeah, a sizable amount there. But if you talk to the Visit Mobile folks, and they got the figures to back it up, their funding is some of the lowest when you compare it to like-sized cities throughout the Southeast.
Yeah, you pointed out, what was the difference? You pointed out a couple cities that were like at the 10 or 20 million level for funding?
Right. So this is the Mobile City Council, the new council members, a group of them went out to Charleston, South Carolina not too long ago. It was last month, actually, and they met with some folks out there. And one of the feedback that they got, or I guess the biggest takeaway when they came back, is that Charleston spending somewhere around the lines of $20 million to promote itself. Charleston, South Carolina.
Wow.
Doing a little bit of checking into that, it sounds like the state of South Carolina is providing most of that money, if not all of it.
Okay.
For promotion of the city of Charleston. In the state of Alabama, we have nowhere near that amount in any city coming from the state government. So it's just a kind of a different way of approaching things. But it put a nugget in some of the council members' heads that, hey, maybe we need to be doing more to promote Mobile. When actually we're looking at our total budgeted amount going to Visit Mobile as around $2.5 to $2.6 million, and of that, only approximately $500,000. If you ask David Clark, the president and CEO of Visit Mobile, this is around $500,000 being spent on actual marketing of the city of Mobile through their organization, and that's pretty low. I mean, that's lower. I've done some checking as well. That's lower than some cities that are much smaller than Mobile. So there's a discussion going on amongst Mobile City Council members. What can we do to increase that allocation for Visit Mobile? What amount they're talking about, we don't know yet, but Dave Clark's going to come before the City Council in the next couple of weeks to actually provide a presentation and talk about how much they really need to move the needle as far as trying to promote Mobile.
And that outs that $500,000, that marketing is like running radio commercials or TV commercials in what, like a Chattanooga or somewhere, or Paducah, Kentucky, saying come down here and vacation here, right? Is that kind of
well? That could be part of it. It could also be for digital ad campaigns, and there's other various marketing aspects that that they could be looking at. But digital ad campaigns can be one of them. It's not just TV or radio ads, but there's a lot of different avenues they can go with that. They also provide a certain amount of money to bring in travel writers, I think, to provide, that might write for a national media publication of some sort to give them a flavor at Mobile. But this is stuff that goes on in a lot of larger cities. I mean, this is not, shouldn't be a new concept to a lot of folks. I mean, right. Convention and visitors bureaus exist everywhere. But, right now, I think the light is shining a little bit, at least from the city's perspective, on how little is being spent for Visit Mobile to do this actual work. And then you get into the whole discussion of, it all goes back to, for instance, like Mardi Gras. I remember a couple years ago, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, not that long ago, we had this billboard in New Orleans promoting Mobile's Mardi Gras, and it was a little unusual. It's funny. It was a little odd. It was kind of a head scratcher, but it also plays into this part of folks that are far outside of Alabama probably associate Mardi Gras solely with New Orleans and not with Mobile. And why is that? Are we promoting it enough? And that's a question that's coming up as well with regards to the funding levels for our Convention and Visitors Bureau here.
Coming right back. More with John Sharp from AL.com as we discuss yesterday's council meeting and some changes, some moves going forward here in our city.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:26, and continue our conversation with John Sharp from AL.com. John, you said something to me during the news break there, I think. It's telling. You're checking in with Auburn and their Visitors Bureau. What is Auburn spending for their promotion?
So Auburn, what they're spending for marketing, according to their director, is just over $1 million. Their overall budget is around a little bit over $2 million, which is slightly under Mobile's. But their marketing piece is a little bit more than sizably more than about half of what. I mean, if Mobile's around $500,000, theirs is over $1 million. That's wow. Auburn Opelika area. Now, they have their lodging tax allocations are set in stone. I think the situation with Visit Mobile, their lodging numbers can go up, down, depending on political viewpoints or government philosophies, whatever have you. I mean, the lodging tax money can get sifted into other pots of funding, and I'm trying to find out a little bit more of where exactly that money might be going to our lodging tax revenues. And I think in Auburn the situation is a little bit more concrete. There's a state legislation that says it can only go to a certain use, and but be that as it may, I'm a little bit over a much smaller area of marketing, much more than Mobile.
And just a minute left here, but so that you said that this conversation, they have set something for January, they're going to come back to this and revisit this discussion?
Well, I think the marketing piece is separate, but there's going to be a separate discussion on entertainment venues, what's going to be of LAD, Civic Center, Golf Quest, Hank Aaron Stadium, Convention Center, basically doing an analysis of what's the use of them and what's the financial, where are we at with the financials of them. And so that's going to be, very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
They're taking a deep dive in our entertainment venues, and that's, it's clearly an issue.
Well, it's
Mobile.
Yeah, it's not a new discussion, but there's definitely some new eyes and voices on this, so we'll see what comes of that.
Exactly.
John, tell folks if they want to get more of what you're writing and what you're working on with AL.com, how do they find you?
Yeah, I'm at JohnSharp99 on Twitter, and then my stories are up on AL.com.
Very good. John, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sean. Appreciate it.
There he is. Appreciate you. John Sharp from AL.com. Coming back is Congressman Mo Brooks, candidate for U.S. Senate. Maybe you've heard of him before, is going to join us. He signed on to the NDAA. Remember the kerfuffle? I think we can define it as kerfuffle-ish when he did not sign the NDAA. And put out some messages to those members of our delegation, like AL1's Jerry Carl and also Mike Rogers and others that did sign on. We're going to talk about that, maybe what has changed that had him sign on. And also Hunter Biden's laptop. He wants to talk about that, and so do I.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1235, FM Talk 1065 at Midday Mobile. And I appreciate a lot of text here about the ideas, what to do with the city's infrastructure, entertainment infrastructure, stadiums, event venues. And maybe, you know, the subject we've talked about, we talked about a decade of this on the show. But what going forward we can say is a lot of new voices, a lot of new people on the Mobile City Council. We'll see if that changes it, and we'll keep an eye on this. I know they're supposed to revisit in January, and we'll kind of take a, you know, a step-by-step measure and see what they suggest for the different venues and maybe what we keep, or do we keep them all, what we do with them going forward. All right, I mentioned right before we went to the news, we'll be joined by AL5's Congressman, candidate for U.S. Senate, Mo Brooks, and he's back on with us. Congressman.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. So, a lot to get into here. We're going to have to save time here because I want us to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop, because it's something that I've been wanting to talk about, and you have some comments on this that I want to get into. But before that, I know that conversation, I think last time you were on with me, we had was about the NDAA, right, and whether to sign or not to sign the NDAA, which you now have signed.
Well, I voted for it last night.
Yes.
But there are three different bills.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So, National Defense Authorization Act, can you explain that? Give us, like, the three different bills in that.
Sure. You've got one bill that was before the committee. You've got the House floor bill, which was basically Nancy Pelosi's version of the National Defense Authorization Act. And then you've got what's called the Conference Committee Report that tries to work out the differences between the House and the Senate. And that's what I voted on last night and voted for, and it passed.
What changed from the Pelosi bill that was the House bill to this one that comes out of conference? What things can you give us? I know maybe there's tons of things, but
sure.
pick some big ones.
Well, there are lots of things that changed, many of them pro-defense, but there were some that were very much anti-defense and anti-conservative values that were in earlier versions of the bill that were stripped from the bill in large part because enough of us congressmen had the courage to vote no in September. When a bunch of congressmen vote no, that's a red flag. That's an indicator that there are problems with a particular piece of legislation. And those no votes then empowered our conference committee members to negotiate a better bill that stripped from the final NDAA, by way of example, a requirement that our teenage girls register for the draft. That's gone. It removed an attack on the Second Amendment via red flag law. That part is now gone. There was a provision that promoted unionization of the national defense industry. That part is now gone from the bill we voted on last night. There was a George Orwell 1984-style, quote, office of extremism, end quote, that would likely target conservatives for their legitimately held political beliefs. That was stripped from the bill that we voted on last night. And there are a bunch of others. So I'm very proud of my no vote back in September of Nancy Pelosi's version of the National Defense Authorization Act. And I'm very thankful for the progress that was made, in part because of my no vote, but also the no votes of over 100 other congressmen on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Congressman, I've been told by others that the way it works, and you can guide me on this because I'm not there doing that job, but the way it works that like this, let's just say women in the draft, that this has shown up before. This isn't the first time it's shown up, and the usual thing is it's in there, NDAA is voted on, and then they pull it out of there. Is that true? Is that how it works normally?
Well, sometimes bad provisions are pulled out at the conference committee level. Sometimes not. So you have to vote on the bill as it appears at that particular point in time on the House floor. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot hope that the bill is going to get better. Therefore, vote for it now on the hope that it's going to get better, because sometimes it does not. That might be the last time you get to vote on it. What happens if the Senate just concurs in what the House passed? Then there's no conference committee report, and you're stuck with the House floor vote where you approve some really bad legislation.
You talk about defense appropriations right now, then I've got a segue into news of the day. It's actually something I'm going to do in the next hour of the show. What do you make of it, of Russia's moves, desires for the Ukraine, the buildup of troops? Do you think that's a real thing? Do you think that's a feign? And if you do think it's a real thing, what should our reaction be?
Well, both Russia and Communist China have
expressed by their conduct expansionist views. You've got Communist China expanding in the South China Sea, threatening Japan with a nuclear attack, threatening the Philippines, threatening Australia, just go down the list. And then you've also got Russia that not that long ago invaded part of the Ukraine, the Crimea.
Crimea, yeah.
And now they are marshaling their forces on the Russian-Ukraine border, well over 100,000 Russian troops. I don't know what Putin's going to do. We've certainly got to be concerned that Putin is going to invade the Ukraine. On the other hand, he might just be doing this as a negotiation tool to get something else out of the United States of America via our rather weakly perceived President Joe Biden.
I mean, do you think how much of this is specific to Article 5 protections, right, for like the Ukraine? That's because it seemed like a lot of those countries weren't real interested in it until, yeah, Crimea was invaded. And now a lot of these former Soviet bloc or neighboring countries are like, yeah, well, we want Article 5 protections, too. And then I guess Russia sees that as a direct affront to them.
Well, let's put it in this perspective.
Okay.
The United States of America and our allies, to my knowledge, have never invaded Russia or the Soviet Union. So I don't understand why they would be concerned that we're going to start now. What's different? Our history has been one of not invading the Soviet Union and not invading Russia. It's quite clear that any expressions by Russia to the contrary are a masquerade for whatever else is going on. It's propaganda. Now, what Russia is going to do, ultimately, is anybody's guess. But we've got to be prepared for everything. And I hope that Joe Biden has properly authorized our military leaders at the Pentagon to be prepared for everything. We'll see how it plays out.
Is that, I mean, let's say here come the Russians invading into Ukraine. Now, we have different levels, obviously, that do nothing, that, you know, oh, we're going to sanction them, that'll really get them, or this idea that we would offer lethal aid, you know, give that to the Ukrainians, or the last step is, would we put our men and women in theater against the Russians? It's a scary thought to me, Congressman.
I do not think that you're going to see American troops in combat with Russian troops in the Ukraine, although, again, one never knows for sure, but I would admit that that is a remote possibility. Yes, it's a possibility, but it's remote. Most likely is we will do what we did in Afghanistan a few decades ago. We armed the Afghans and they bled Russia dry, that Russia withdrew of its own accord. That certainly is a strategy that worked in Afghanistan, and that might also work in the Ukraine, where we provide the Ukrainians with the kinds of weaponry that the Russians cannot match.
So we would enter at that point. It would be a proxy war, correct? I mean, at least a half proxy, with Ukrainians as our proxy and the Russians representing themselves.
Well, yeah, you could describe it that way. I'm not sure that I would, but I can certainly understand how some people would. But basically, I would say that we're trying to help an ally.
As and do you think that like Ukraine, for example, specifically, should they be offered membership into NATO? Should they? I mean, should we say, you know, Russia? Because some people are saying, well, Russia is doing this as a pushback for us not to offer that. But should we move them, a country like Ukraine, into NATO?
Well, there are a lot of pros and cons, certainly from a national defense, national security, European security standpoint. The Ukraine becoming a part of NATO gives the Russians great pause for thought.
Mm-hmm.
They would know then that an attack on the Ukraine triggers the NATO alliance. Keeping in mind these basic facts, the nations that are in NATO, their population is vastly greater than Russia's. The nations that are in NATO, their economic wealth vastly exceeds that of the Russians. And what those two things put together mean is that the NATO countries have the capability of having a vastly superior military force than the Russians. And you would think that the Russians would not want to take on a losing proposition.
Mm-hmm.
If the Ukraine became a member of NATO, then Russia immediately foresees that as a losing proposition because of all the subsequent triggering events in attacking a NATO country.
Just joining us, talking to Congressman Mo Brooks, and candidate for U.S. Senate. I'm going to talk a little bit here about the laptop and the art sales here surrounding Hunter Biden. It's, you know, I know this has been pushed back and relegated to, oh, we'll get around to that later. But you're saying possibly that later is when power changes in 2022, which so many people, even Democrats, have bitten that they're probably going to lose all control of the legislative branch.
I hope so. Certainly on the House side, it's very, 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 very promising that the Republicans will obtain the majority. I'd put that in the 90% range.
What about Senate?
On the Senate side, it's a little bit more challenging, but I still have us as a probability of taking over the United States Senate in 2022, at least if the election were today. I think we would end up with 51 or 52 seats versus the Democrats, 48 or 49. If we get control of the House and the Senate, what that means in turn is that we control the committees. And that's where the investigative processes take place. That's where the hearings are. That's where the witnesses can be called. And certainly this, what appears to be corruption on the part of Hunter Biden, where he's selling his name, which inferentially means the name of the President of the United States, that's a really big deal. And that needs to be explored in great detail, because I can promise you, I've seen some of Hunter Biden's art. It ain't worth the tens of thousands of dollars people are paying for it.
It's. I think he said in a piece, I don't know where I read, maybe over at Breitbart I read it, but it does bring up, this is a pretty good hustle if you could do it. I mean, because if I sell you a piece of real estate, right, or you come buy real estate from me, well, it has a fixed value, right? We know what it was reported. We can see if somebody paid you way too much. You come buy my house for five times what it's worth. Well, yeah, now we got a paper trail. But who knows? Art is in the eye of the beholder, right? So you've got this system where I can come pay you whatever for that painting because I thought it was great.
If it was Sean Sullivan or Mo Brooks' name on that so-called art, we'd be lucky to break $100.
Yes, true. I'd have to pay them to take it off my hands. But in this case, so people understand a little bit of a civics lesson, because people often go, why aren't they doing anything about that artwork, or why aren't they investigating Hunter Biden? Y'all can't right now. In the minority, you can't.
We cannot call hearings. So we can ask for hearings, but the Speaker of the House controls what hearings we're going to have in the House of Representatives. And Chuck Schumer on the Senate side controls the hearings that are going to be held in the United States Senate. And then, of course, the investigative bodies with the Department of Justice, the FBI and whatnot, they're all controlled by Hunter Biden's father, Joe Biden, President of the United States. You're not seeing the president ask for any investigations of his son for these what appear to be rather shady art deals.
I mean, it is. To me, this is the low-hanging fruit. I mean, even for some fair-minded Democrats I've talked to, they said, yeah, this is embarrassing. This is not good. I mean, it seems like this is something that is just a win, you know, for the American people to find out the truth here. And I don't know how far up it goes, but at least to Hunter Biden, it goes there.
Well, what makes it even worse and more suspicious is that there were similar issues with Hunter Biden before his father became president of the United States. And so you've got a compounding effect.
Let's talk about this before we wrap up as well. Talk about control. Democrats having control and moving on with their January 6th committee. What's next for you on this? Where do you stand? What have they told you?
Well, they haven't told me anything. They haven't asked anything. They haven't told me anything. I don't call them the name that you call them. I call them the Witch Hunt Committee.
Okay.
These are the same people who for 2 years pretended that there was Russian collusion. We now know it was a hoax. There was zero evidence to support it. And the people who are behind it are being indicted. These are the same people who impeached President Trump, not once, but twice, when there is zero evidence to support that the President of the United States committed the constitutionally required standard of high crime, misdemeanor, treason, or bribery. Okay? So these are the same people who are in charge of this witch hunt committee, and they are doing this because they believe that it will help them control the narrative in 2022. That's it. Well, I should add, and they believe it might help them prevent Donald Trump from getting elected in 2024. So we'll see if the public's smart enough to figure it out. But to date, the witch hunt committee hasn't asked anything of me. And quite frankly, that's in part because they know, as I know, that I've not committed any wrongful act.
This is something we talked about this with the Russia investigation and everything. It seems, from my uneducated political mind, that they would not move for they want to drag it out. They don't want to have any completion to it, at least through the midterm. Like you said, it would be it's more valuable to them as a thing that they're going to do, not a thing that they've done.
It's a political propaganda tool from the beginning to the end. Same thing as the Russian collusion, same thing as the two impeachments, same thing as any number of things that we see, and they're aided and abetted by the fake news media. It's a very frustrating thing to be on the side of honesty and truth on fair and accurate elections and see what's happening to our country by the propaganda that's being spewed by so many different sources.
All right, Congressman, if people want to get more information about your campaign, where do they go?
Go to mobrooks.com. Join our team. We have over 1,500 volunteers that have signed up to be volunteers for our campaign. We really like those numbers. We look forward to the springtime when, with our limited resources, you know, we're not the candidate of the special interest groups that are pouring millions of dollars into the coffers of one of my opponents. We're basically the people's candidate. So if you believe in America first, please go to mobrooks.com. We could use your help.
Congressman, we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure.
There he is, Congressman Mo Brooks, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM Motor Cars. And Larry, we often talk about the inventory of vehicles, but let's talk about the inventory of financing options.
Oh, that's one of our favorite subjects. You know, we're able to save people, you know, up to thousands of dollars over the term of the contract by just putting them with the right source at the right time with the right terms.
What do you mean by that? You've said that before. Like, you match. I mean, isn't every lender just as good for every other person, or is there something beyond that?
No. No, everything, I mean, everybody fits, you know. All of us are different, and all of our histories are different, so they just we know who to put who with who to get the best rate.
And you talk about that best rate. You mentioned it at the beginning there. That did a
1.75.
Yeah, no joke. And what that means over the life of a loan, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, over if you go over 60 months and say, like, some people don't know what they're doing, and get a, you know, even an 8% rate, it's going to save $1,000.
All right, let's talk about how we come find you, talk financing, and look at those vehicles.
Come see us on Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
There he is, Larry Kirby, checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, let me grab a couple texts here. We're kind of short on time, but let's see. From, gosh, a whole bunch of them came in during our conversation with Congressman Brooks. Jay says, weird how MGT, I guess that's Marjorie, is that Marjorie Taylor Greene? That's MTG. MGT is concerned about January 6 people being mistreated in D.C. jails. Don't recall her throwing a fit about everyone else in there when complaints have been made. Ben asks, is the Civic Center big enough to have football games? If so, then LAD needs to be torn down and all the games remaining should be played at the Civic Center. Jason says, the more I listen to Mo Brooks, the more I like Katie. David says, I do believe in America first. That's why I will not be voting for Mo Brooks for Senate in 2022. Have we seen a change around here in the audience and support? I don't know. It's to me, as a person that wants to watch politics and it work out and us get the best person in the job, the more people in the mix, to me, is the better. I mean, that's how I look at it. Oh, and also, somebody questioned me that I said fair-minded Democrats, who are my friends. He said, or she said, do those exist? Are there fair-minded Democrats? Are they more fair-minded than rhinos? Maybe the term I should have used is honest. And I always appreciate that. I appreciate that from all sides when somebody can say, you know, like somebody who voted for Joe Biden but says this Hunter Biden thing is not good. That person I can have a bigger conversation with because I respect that they're being honest with me on that. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. John Kilpatrick from Veterans Recovery Resources joins us straight ahead.